You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Today is June 13th, 2023, and this is Trish Holmes with a piece describing the recent Enough is Enough rally that occurred on June 4th across the province. Thousands took part in the rally, including in KW, where about 100 people attended, including city councillors, MPPs, and the Kitchener Centre MP. On the one-year anniversary of Doug Ford's re-election in Ontario, thousands of people across the province came together for the Enough is Enough Expo, March, and Rally. In Waterloo Region, special interest groups, politicians, service organizations, and community members came together at Kitchener City Hall to draw attention to and exchange ideas about Ontario right now. They set up information booths and came to exchange ideas about the cost of living crisis, the housing crisis, and the many social, political, and climate crises with which we are currently dealing. After a little less than 2 hours, the expo closed up and the participants marched down King Street to rally outside Grand River Hospital, where six representatives of social organizations spoke. Throughout this story, the chants that you will regularly hear are from this march up King Street. Jeff Donkersgood is the Vice President of the Waterloo Regional Labour Council, and he talked to me about what the Enough is Enough campaign has set out to achieve.
There are 30 different actions happening across the province. So we've got, this is like an expo where we wanted to bring all these different community organizations together from across the region, the entire region. We tried our best, basically to share the good stuff they do for the community. And every group here has been affected in some sort of way with the various issues that have arisen, whether it's cost of living, as you said. We've got groups that are dealing with affordable housing that are here today, unions dealing with low wages and job security issues. The United Way is here, and they do a lot of fundraising for a lot of these groups that are here, but also for the community. So we wanted to create this space just to do something a little different so that people could share, learn to talk to each other again after COVID. I think this is something I know personally I'm still trying to learn how to do. There are the five parts of the Enough is Enough campaign. So the Ontario Federation of Labour, which is an umbrella group for all the unions across the province. There's a million workers that are basically a part of this. The five tenants are, again, cost of living, prices of goods like gasoline and groceries especially, affordable housing, ensuring that healthcare and education stays public, making sure corporations and, you know, big businesses pay. And I'm going to forget the last one because I always do. It's real wage increases, okay? Because I don't even know, if I think of certain students that I teach, I don't even know how their families are surviving right now. Like, and I can see some of the behaviors coming up, and I think some of that is part of it. So this is kind of the event we've pushed, but we are doing a march and a rally to Grand River Hospital following this event.
Political representatives were at the rally, including Aisling Clancy, the Kitchener City Councillor for Ward 10, Mike Morris, the federal MP for Kitchener Centre, and Mike Schreiner, the provincial MPP for Guelph. I asked Councillor Clancy about what can be done to reduce the cost of goods.
Well, I would say the kind of threats to our farmland is probably not helping. You know, I've talked to farmers at our local market who say their kids can't get into farming because the land is so expensive. So I think that would be one. Government needs to show leadership because there is gouging practices in our big grocers. We need more independent kind of grocery system where we can encourage small businesses and local grocers to do better. But we also can't undermine our local autonomy over food, right? Like, we need to have a food system that's local that we can rely upon. So really, we have to work in partnership with our farmers. We need to create more space for small businesses and other parties to get involved in our food system and put limits on the amount of gouging that happens.
I also talked with a representative from ACWA, the AIDS Committee of Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, and area, who had a similar outlook on what can be done about the cost of living.
You know, I can tell you the best food bank model, it's a field wide open for people to access. One of the reasons for this modus operandi that we're in is the privatization of land. There's a lot of nails to hit on the head here, and unfortunately we don't talk enough about them because sometimes it's hard to be uncomfortable around people. because it's uncomfortable conversations. People lives are at stake because of this.
Councillor Clancy and Mike Morris also talked to me about the housing crisis.
Yeah, so what I'm finding more and more as a city councillor and as a social worker, to be honest, is that folks are being displaced from their homes. Right now, there's investment practices that involve people pulling their money together to buy apartment buildings where people pay below market rents. And they buy them up as an investment opportunity and brag about the 19% they make off of tenant turnover. In Kitchener, the average rent for a two-bedroom is above $2,500. So our province has defined affordability as 80% of market rent. That is not affordable for folks on ODSP who get paid $1,200 a month max.
Councillor Clancy stated that the province defines affordability as 80% of market rent, and indeed it does. This is part of the Ford government's Build 23, which became the More Homes Built Faster Act in November of 2022. This act lists 29 municipalities, Waterloo Region is one of them, that the government has determined needs houses built fast. The act allows a provincial government to override municipal plans and zoning bylaws and no longer requires public meetings and prevents third-party Ontario Land Tribunal appeals. Mike Morris talked to us as well about the current housing situation.
The other really critical piece when you talk about the affordability crisis is the cost of housing. Because whether it's rent or a mortgage, for most people in our community, that is the largest budget item at a time when we know like the unsheltered population in our community has tripled since 2018. We are in a housing crisis, and we need all three levels of government working together to address it. It's decades of underinvestment that have got us here, in particular from the provincial and federal governments. They, you know, since the mid-90s, this whole Mike Harris so-called common sense revolution in the mid-90s, well, they eroded funding for co-op housing, for social housing, and I and others have been pushing to get those investments back to the levels we need them to address this crisis, and for the policies that would shift so that homes are places for people to live again and not commodities for investors to trade. So as one example, there's a type of corporate landlord, they're called real estate investment trusts, that are profiteering in the housing market by purchasing existing units. They're then renovicting, and leading to more displacement in our community, and they don't even pay tax. And so one of the proposals I've been bringing forward is to say, well, shouldn't REITs at least be paying their fair share of taxes? And with that revenue, use that to invest in the affordable housing that we need. And so that's what I mean when I say we need to kind of level the playing field, because this housing crisis has and will continue to define our community. But in all of that work, I feel so encouraged today seeing how many people are here, knowing that, you know, this is the solidarity we need. This is the kind of organizing, the people power that we need to push for, you know, real solutions to the crises we're facing.
A lot of people reference Mike Harris and his so-called common sense revolution in the 1990s, noting that the situation we find ourselves in now is a direct consequence of his reforms. Mike Harris was premier for 7 years from 1995 to 2002, winning the election twice. One of his first major policy decisions in 1995 was to cut social assistance rates by 21.6%. The Harris government went on to cut income tax as much as 30% and slashed public spending on healthcare, education, infrastructure, and social services. Back to Aqua, who expanded further on the idea that where we are now is in large part thanks to a lack of funding that started 30 years ago.
We have- haven't seen much yet, but we also haven't seen anything near what would look like a funding raise either in a very, very, very long time. And I don't think it's something that started with the current government provincially. I'll leave that there for people to think about. But showing up here is a way to say the community needs everyone to actually act. Voter turnout a year ago was at 48%. 6 out of 10 eligible Ontarians did not vote. And it means that we are not going to the people that need to hear what we have to say.
And it's a really good point that we always talk about wages not increasing with the cost of living, but also social organizations haven't seen their funding increased to reflect the cost of living.
And I think it speaks to how, over the last few decades, we've built a government that is trying to create charity as the only possible way for people to access services. So we will take away your health care, we'll take away your education, we will take away your access to basic human dignity rights, and we're going to let those people deal with it, right? We're going to let the food bank deal with it. We're going to hopefully get enough peanut butter jam sandwiches built for Christmas next year.
Referenced here is the stat that 6 out of 10 eligible Ontarian voters did not vote in 2022. That is pretty much true. Out of 10.7 million eligible voters, only 43.5% cast a ballot in that election, leaving 56.5% of eligible voters who did not vote. So that's pretty darn close to 6 out of 10.
After about 1.5 hours of the expo, the crowd folded up tables and marched down King Street to Grand River Hospital, where representatives from 6 different organizations spoke. These organizations included the Nurses Union, the Social Development Center, ACORN, a representative from the recently unionized Starbucks in Uptown, and a representative from the Ontario Health Coalition. All the speakers were engaging, but here's Jamie from the Starbucks Union with a description of bringing in the union and the benefits that entailed.
That on average, Canadian workers represented by a union earn almost $5 more per hour, are tax deductible, and that our rights and privileges will be protected and built upon through the collective bargaining process.
The Enough is Enough demonstration proved that change is going to encompass a wide range of issues. Events like this are, in Mike Morris's words, to remind ourselves of the number of people who are similarly upset and organizing to ensure that, in solidarity, we can push back. To finish the episode, here is his take on the event and how events like these help us move forward.
Well, I think, first of all, it's just so encouraging seeing so much solidarity here this morning, from like tenants' rights groups to labor groups to housing advocates. Seeing people come together to collectively say enough is enough is, you know, a boost of hope. And I feel like right now, in the midst of what we're seeing, particularly in Ontario right now, where the provincial government is, whether you're looking at privatizing healthcare, stomping on labor rights, it's just been a really difficult time for so many. And so that's why I think this event is so important, to remind ourselves of the number of people who are similarly upset and organizing to ensure that in solidarity we can push back.
You have been listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. This is Trish Holmes on June 13th, 2023, and thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Project and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.